You're listening to the Fresh Take Network.
Self high five.
Welcome to Fresh Take Stick Boy, the One Fall podcast, as we dig into the archives and are going to bring you this very special podcast for the first time to the We Talk podcast family, an interview I conducted with Diamond Dallas Page, the former WCW champion back in 2014. He talks about DDP yoga, he talks about the Macho Man, he talks about Jake the Snake Roberts, and much more. So without any further ado, take a trip back to 2014, pop in that DeLorean, and check it out. Diamond Dallas Page.
Oh, good to be here, Josh.
Now, one of the things that you are renownedly known for is DDP yoga. How did you come up with the idea for DDP yoga?
Necessity, because you have to understand that, Josh, I'm a guy who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga the first 42 years of my life, and now my name's attached to it. So, there's got to be a story behind that, right? So I didn't start wrestling until I was 35. My career didn't take off until I was 40 years old.
Right.
That was in 1996, and wrestling literally blew through, you know, the cable networks and wrestling between the WCW, the Monday Night Wars, the WCW and the WWF. Now everything's the WWE, but yeah. Back then, it was the war for the rating points. And we were, you know, between the two companies, we were sometimes the top four shows for our Mondays and Thursday night shows. We were never less than top two, like one and two. We were always, you know, had the biggest share. And with that comes crazy schedules. You know, like I was wrestling 275 days a year, my body bouncing off the mat, you know, I was, by the time 96 came around, 97 and 98, I was so on fire. I mean, I probably headlined 13 out of 24 pay-per-views, main evented. So my career was crazy. I, you know, going from a guy who was a nobody to a top guy in a very short time and a lot of hard work. And, you know, my body was getting abused on a daily level, along with doing the Tonight Show and the Craig Kilborn Show and Hollywood Squares and movies. And my schedule was insane. And then, you know, I signed a multi-million-dollar three-year deal, and then I blew my back out.
Oh.
And I had three of the top back specialists in the world tell me I'd never wrestle again. So when Kimberly, I was still married at the time,
right,
brought me the whole yoga thing, like, you should try it, it could heal your body. I was like, F that, I'm not doing that. I ain't doing yoga. Because I was very into holding back the hands of time and trying everything, but I was inflexible, let's say,
right,
to doing yoga. But at some point I had to, because it's all I could do besides the rehab. And I had been rehabbing my back with no real, you know, nothing really moving the way it needed to. And the doctors told me it wouldn't. But I'd rehab both shoulder surgeries and both knee surgeries, so I knew quite a bit about rehab. Finally, she got me to try the tapes, and I was frustrated in the beginning, you know, because everybody was a stick figure in Gumby, and there was no modification. So I had to figure them out. And little by little, I started to figure them out. And one night, about 3 weeks in, I really started to feel a significant difference. I felt like this is working. And I've been doing the rehab for my back the whole time. So I started to work that rehab for my back, but also the stuff I've done with my shoulders, my knees, and my hips. You know, so I'd been working that into, like, cross-pollinating, so to speak. And then I threw in some old-school calisthenics, something we all know. You know, like push-ups, squats, crunches, but done with a slow burn movement. and mixing this whole fusion together. And before you knew it, bro, I had a workout that later on would be called DDP yoga. That was kick-ass cardio, would dramatically increase your flexibility and strengthen your core like never before, all with minimal joint impact in less than 3 months.
Wow.
With what would become DDP yoga, I was back in the ring. At 42, they said my wrestling career was over. At 43, I was a heavyweight champ of the world.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
So I'm gonna keep doing that. That's how it came about. And then I just started turning on one buddy after another. You know, and I was like, wow, this really does work. And then I wrote a book on the subject. I called it Yoga for Regular Guys. And I developed this workout for men originally. And, because a man will never do a chick's workout.
No.
But women will do men's workouts because they want to show I can do that too. And over the years, I've lost some of the really extreme masculine bravado that came with DDP yoga. And it's pretty much down the middle. Right now, I probably have about 60% of the people, of the hundreds of thousands of people who have invested in the program, about 60% are men and about 40% are women. And that number increases every year a little by little more and more with the women. Because they love it. They love the workout. They love the results that they're getting with the program.
Yeah, you know, like everywhere I go, I just see it now. Like DDP yoga is everywhere. I mean, even if you listen to some of your colleagues' podcasts, like Jim Ross or Jericho, you just see the ads all over the place. And I can see the results on your website too of just the transformation some people have with this program.
You know, one of the things we have something that no one has. Well, actually, going to be two things that nobody has. Of course, everyone has success stories, but nobody has, like, they just show weight loss.
Right.
Weight loss was never what this program was about. Weight loss turned out to be a really awesome side effect, you know, because it was about helping healing beat up athletes be able to, you know, become, you know, back to feeling awesome again. And guys who were in the top end shape, taking them to, like, the next level. So, you know, that was originally when it came in. But on ddpyoga.com, well, first of all, you saw the video of the disabled veteran, Arthur Borman, the one I helped walk again, right?
Oh, absolutely. Brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah, everybody, you know, and it's one of those things you can watch over and over and over again. We've got over 10.7 million views on that, just on our YouTube video. And it's been stolen off us a bunch of times. We don't care. Take it and send it and burn it on your own channel. I don't care. But it really showed that a disabled veteran who was 5'6", 297 pounds, who could not walk without the aid of the knee braces, the back brace. By the way, it took his wife 20 minutes every morning to put on those knee braces over the braces and the back brace to help her husband get out of bed and then put his wrist through those cups,
jeez,
those canes, to hobble to the bathroom every morning. To watch his video, if you haven't seen it, just go to ddpyoga.com just to do that, just to inspire yourself for the day. And you will see a man not only lose over 10-month period 140 pounds, you will watch him, more importantly, lose those knee braces, the back brace, and those wraparound canes, not just to walk, but to run. So that happened 7 years ago. DDP yoga has been a brainchild of mine and a passion for 13 years. And not only to the last, we're coming up on our third year anniversary. Not only to the last 3 years have I taken a dime out of this company. I was $500,000 of my own money in the company before I took a dime. And I still continue to invest. We're building our first DDP Yoga Performance Center right here, right outside of Atlanta, Georgia.
Really?
20 minutes from the airport. We'll have people coming in from all over the world to come here to Smyrna, Georgia, the same place that Julia Roberts is from. You know, it's only 20 minutes from the airport, 20 minutes from downtown Atlanta, Georgia. But we're building a performance center that is going to be like no other. because what we're building is a studio to film our workouts that will go worldwide. Our app that we're developing is going to take fitness to the next level. People will still buy the DVDs, of course, but they'll get the app to go with that. And at some point, you know, just like records, 8-track, cassette, CDs, MP3s, they're all gone. You know, eventually the DVD will be gone. It'll all be down to the app.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm developing that for the future right now, my company. And we have some really amazing individuals. And anybody who follows our DDP TV channel on YouTube know that I've got some of the best editing guys, filming guys on the planet. Because we're constantly putting out new videos out there too. It's another way people, you know, invest in DDPO because they see these amazing stories. But the thing I haven't gotten to on DDPYoga.com, yes, we have those success stories, but we also have another level of what we call under construction. And what they are, men and women who may have lost 30 pounds, 50 pounds, 80 pounds on the way to their goal. Maybe their goal is 30 pounds. Maybe their goal is 60. Some of their goals are 100 or 200 pounds that they need to lose to get to their goal weight. And we pop those up there so people can see these are people who are in the middle of the journey. And every couple of months, you'll see their story change. And then you'll see their story go from the under construction side, bloop, over to the success story side. And we have a new page we're working on right now that's all about pain management. And people, because I'm not going to tell you it'll heal your knees or it'll heal your back or your shoulders or your hips, but I got hundreds of thousands. I'm only going to take so many of them and put them up there. But people who say, like, I've got fibromyalgia. I just posted like 3 months ago, and this woman wrote, I've got fibromyalgia. I've been in pain for the last 15 years. She said, I've been doing your program for 5 weeks. She goes, in the beginning, it was hard. It was challenging, but I stuck with it. And she goes, I just had to write you. I've never written on Facebook before. She said, I just had to write you to tell you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Today is the first morning I've woken up and I'm not in pain.
Wow, that's amazing.
Thank you so much.
I think
that's the kind of stories we have.
I think one of the amazing things for this yoga thing that I've seen as it's gone on, like I remember.
Wait.
Go ahead, DDP.
This one thing? This, you called it what?
Yoga.
No. What's his name?
Oh, it's not your mama's yoga.
No, what's the name?
DDP Yoga.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because, again, bro, Josh, I didn't make this for the yogis. They got, you know, Bikram, you know, Anusara, you know, Svinyasana. They've got all these kinds of yoga. And then way over here to the left is the DDP Yoga.
Right.
Okay, we're good. Now you got it. Go ahead.
I think the best thing about DDP yoga is I remember, and I'm sure a lot of people that will listen to this too, is I remember you being that heavyweight champion. And you're one of the guys that brought me to WCW back in the day. You're one of the guys that stood out to me when I was watching it. And now watching you do this DDP yoga, and not only you changed, for example, we know the story about Chris Jericho using it to get himself back into the ring, your story, but the stories that you use about all these people using it and getting over all the things, I think that's one of my favorite things about following this as it continues to get bigger and bigger.
You know, it's fun. It's fun. God just blessed me again this morning, or I should say last night. Yeah, I've been very blessed a bunch of times, but we are going to be on Shark Tank again.
Wow.
Because they're showing the reruns. And when I tell you business-wise, you know, I never went on there to get a deal. I went on there to get exposure. And I wasn't going to give up more than 5%, and the sharks knew it. And, you know, I didn't get a deal, but again, I didn't go there to get a deal. But I did go there to raise awareness and to see what Shark Tank could really bring to the table. And now we're talking about the first run, and it ran We did $1 million in sales in 6 days.
Oh, wow.
And what that shows is, because people didn't go there and immediately buy. They left Shark Tank and came to our site over those next 6 days, and they researched. Because there was so much information, from how to do the workouts to breakdowns of video trailers of each workout, to testimonies, to under construction, to about DDP yoga. I mean, there's everything you could possibly want to know. So that means that $1 million worth of people came there and bought that program. That's like 10,000 orders.
Wow.
11,000 orders. Like, boom. We've sold over 111,000 programs.
Jeez.
In less than 3 years. And what that means, Josh, is it works.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's the really amazing part. So God bless me last night, because we found out last week that we were going to be on July 4th, and I was like, awesome, that's going to be a great weekend. And then I realized, no, we're going to be on July 4th at 9 o'clock. Wait a minute, July 4th, 9 o'clock, that's when they're doing the fireworks. Oh, my God. That's the worst time. Oh, God. But no, I was still, well, you know, it's still amazing. It's going to be awesome. And then last night, Shark Tank sent me a thing saying, we've changed your date. It's going to be June 27th.
Beautiful.
I was going, I was Daniel Bryan. Yes. 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 What are you doing? What are you doing? I go, they changed the date. I couldn't believe it. It was awesome. So, That was a great thing. Everybody wants to see what we're doing. You see it right there on Shark Tank on the 27th. That's 10 days.
I definitely advise everyone to do it. It's one of, like, just watching all the videos that you guys have put up. Like you said, you guys got some, being in someone in broadcasting, some of the best editing I've ever seen too for some of those videos. Absolutely fantastic.
My team works really great. They work hard. What we're developing right now, this is an amazingly exciting project because of what the result was, is the resurrection of Jake the Snake. And we have been filming this movie for over 20 months, and it has so much potential. I mean, we're not trying to develop just a documentary. Our goal is to develop a documentary that will be Oscar nominated. Now, that's a really bold statement.
Definitely.
Some people might think it is cocky, but it's not. It's just a goal. You know, I've been crazy enough to say we're going to win the Oscar. You know, I just want to have the acknowledgement of our first film, because this is such a passionate part of what we're all about. And, you know, DDP Yoga has a lot to do with it, but it's the story of Jake. And we just, you know, it's a roller coaster. If you watch any of our videos on DDP TV, you can see that it's not just up stuff, it's down stuff. It's a roller coaster. And now we're filling it in with interviews, you know, from different superstars, from Ted DiBiase, who's right there in the middle of it with Jake. Gene Okerlund, Jim Ross, Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, got an outside view from Jericho and Edge both.
Jeez.
We got a couple more guys. I can't remember off the top of my head. But the guy, I don't know if you and Jake had that thing in TMZ where it was like the darkest hour for him, where he was all whacked out and the guy who was there in the middle of it all, who was right there in the LTMZ thing, who got the promo on and everything, we interviewed him. It's like the roller coaster that has been Jake's life.
Wow.
But, you know, it's a story of a guy. You know, when I inducted Jake in the Hall of Fame on my birthday, April 5th, which was like the greatest birthday present ever.
No kidding.
Considering 18 months before that, I set a goal with my buddy Steve Yu, who's my business partner and an amazing, really, really smart guy. We are the ones who are co-producing. He's directing, and he's the head director and editor of the film as well. And we set a goal that we're going to end this movie when Jake gets in the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
18 months from now. And Jake thought we were nuts, you know, and he set a goal. He wanted to get in the Royal Rumble, you know, and getting on the Monday night, you know, Legends show was a goal that he didn't even set, because we didn't even know that was possible. But that opened up so many doors, and he's doing so good. And, you know, but he's an addict. So there's always that the shoe could drop at any moment. You know,
I think
part of living.
When you talk about Oscar nominated, though, I don't think you're too far off, just because, I mean, for people that have followed the story of Jake Roberts, it's a really, really deep story. And even watching the Hall of Fame speech, too, like you felt that speech. You felt it when he came up there. And you could feel it, too, when you were inducting him, how happy you were to induct this man and how happy he was to be there.
Yeah, it was you know, it's funny because I had a different version written.
Oh.
And, you know, I gave it to the WWE because they're the ones who said, you know, wanted me to do it. And it wasn't my night. It was Jake. So, you know, I had certain things the way I wanted to say it. If it was my night, I just would have done it my way. But it was for Jake. And there was a couple of things that they wanted just a different version of. So 3/4 of that speech was still the same one. But in a whole different, you know, changing up, like changing up your song request and making up a new song before you go out there. I did that right before I walked out there. And it was, I think it was better. I think, because Triple H pulled me aside. He said, "Dally, listen, you know, I love what you did with this." He goes, "But do you think you maybe might want to just change the feel right here and maybe bring one of the stories in?" So I got to sit down and think about that snake story, losing the snake in my house.
Yeah.
And I have to eliminate all the F-bombs, you know, that normally go with that story, you know, and replace them with other words or facial expressions, you know, which that was the challenge, you know, and it really came out, it came out better than I even thought it was. And Jake's speech was just amazing.
Oh, it was one of the best. Like, everyone's speech that night was phenomenal, but when we watched, we had a few friends watching it that night. Everybody, people that we knew that weren't even wrestling fans, I said, "No, you got to watch this. You got to know this guy's story." And they were coming to tears, and they could just feel how happy and passionate this guy was to be there.
You see, that's where I think that we're really going to score unbelievably huge with this movie, is because people loved The Wrestler,
mm-hmm.
the movie. They were people who never watched wrestling ever. So we have all of those people. And I know so many of them would call me up and go, "Oh my God, you know, I've watched wrestling since I met you, but you know, I was never a wrestling fan, but that movie, oh my God, that so pulled me in." Well, that's Jake Roberts' story.
There you go.
You know, it's like they took a version of Jake's story. Instead of one kid, Jake's got eight. You know, so, you know, magnify times all of that. And that Randy the Ram wasn't doing crack.
No.
You know, so,
no.
You know, but, you know, the bottom line is that it's, I really believe it's going to be, it's going to give Jake an even different life.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's going to be, he's bouncing around so happy right now. I just saw him a little while ago. He came by while we were just finishing up the workout, because he was supposed to be there to work out today, but he was supposed to have his operation, and then he's got to get that rest of that cancer taken out of him.
Right.
But he's just been working so much. So, but he looks great. He looks great, and he's staying really healthy, and he's actually in love right now, which for him is, you know, awesome. You know, I'm happy for him.
That's just awesome to hear. One of the other guys, too, that you've taken care of was Scott Hall.
And, you know, that story is another one. It's like it's, we're going to both be inducted the same night. And, you know, they're both completely different characters, though. Like, Scott listens to me, but not like Jake does. You know, Jake gets it. And sometimes Scotty, you know, he's got to work through things himself, you know. And if he just, you know, if he let me guide him a little bit more, I think he could just be on fire. You know, it's certain superstars that, you know, I'm like not just the talent. I'm my own manager. I'm my own promoter. I'm all my own stuff. And I work in, you know, Scott was famous for saying to me, "Dally, you're so positive. How do you stay so positive?" I work at it. It just doesn't happen. You know, just like I work at DDP Yoga, just like I work at my business, just like I work at my reading and my speaking and everything. You know, nothing just happens. You know, you got to work at it, especially if you've got depression problems. You know, and both of those guys got depression problems. So you got to work at not being depressed. You know, it's a challenge, especially when you got the whole chemical imbalance thing too.
Right.
So you really got to work at it. It's like people who have food allergies, you can't eat that food. You just can't. It's poison to you. You know, and I deal with that a lot, teaching people, how what's real food and what's not.
Right. When you were at the Hall of Fame too, obviously huge for you to bring in Scott and Jake. Did a part of you wonder when will be my time?
In the back of your mind, I would probably say that's, you know, true, but not really. You know, I knew that, you know, at some point it's going to happen, and when it does, it does. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm being recognized by the Dan Gable Museum, Hall of Fame, Dan Gable Hall of Fame in Iowa.
Oh, wow.
On the 17th, I'm going out there, and they actually gave me the Frank Gotch Award, which, Mick Foley's gotten, and Jesse Ventura's gotten, pretty high-profile people in my industry have gotten. So it'll all work its way around, you know, and you know, until Randy Savage is in there,
yeah.
You know, I'm not really, and he's not yet. So, it'll happen when it's supposed to happen. Like I've always been that person that always wanted it to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
And then over my life, I realized, well, maybe it's not supposed to happen yet. Because when everything happens for me, it happens right when it's supposed to. And I think patience is not a virtue I hold on to, but I'm getting better at it all the time.
I don't want it to too much of your time, so I just got a few more questions for you. You mentioned Randy Savage, arguably your biggest feud that you've ever had in your career. Do you have like a good Randy story for us at all?
Oh God, I got a thousand of them. There's, one of the reasons I stay really positive because I try to focus on what I have as opposed to what I don't have. And right now I'm so blessed. I have so many things. It's ridiculous. But then I try to think of more, more important things as opposed to material things. And Randy Savage really, was the reason that my career exploded. Scott Hall and Kevin Nash were the reason where they helped me when the diamond cutter was so hot. And me getting to drop the NWO guys, which was my idea.
Oh yeah.
And the booking company, we took it to Eric Bischoff, and he wasn't sure if he'd get it passed through. And Scott Hall said to him, "Well, we all know you and Dally are buddies. Everybody knows." He goes, "If being your friend's not a good thing," he said, "I'm not sure if I want to continue working here." So Scotty really stepped up for me there, and those guys doing that for me was really huge for my career. But it was Randy Savage who made me a top guy. It was Jake Roberts who taught me how to be that top guy.
Right.
And how to handle all the heat that comes with that. But Randy, our first match, the Friday before pay-per-view, we'd never done the diamond cutter. Besides that time, we did it in the middle of the ring. We had never done it at that point.
Really?
Because I just taken elbows. I'd only just taken guy. I hit Scott with a diamond cutter, but I hadn't hit Randy just going into the pay-per-view. And we'd worked a bunch of house shows, meaning there's no cameras. And, we were main eventing everywhere. And it was always some kind of schmoz finish. The NWO would run out, hit a couple of NWO guys, 90 cutters, and then get beat down to the ground. And that's how the show pretty much would end every night. And then one night, Arn Anderson walked in and he said, "So Mach," just me and Macho in the locker room. And he said, "So what do you want to do tonight?" And he looked up at Arn and he went back to lacing up his boots. He goes, "Well, I think I want to take the diamond cutter." And he went back to lacing his boots up and Arn almost fell over. And he said, "Well, Diamond, I hope you understand. It's going to be huge for your career." I'm like, "Yeah, Arn, I get that." But, you know, it's still not in front of anybody. You know, it's only in front of this crowd because Randy wanted to test it out, see how the people were going to react. Like, are they really buying this like he thinks they are? So we went out there. We had a hell of a match. The place was packed, hanging from the rafters. It was so hot in there. Our company was so hot, 97. Oh, yeah. It was like April of 97. It was actually end of March, 97. And we couldn't get any hotter.
No.
And we were selling out 22,000 seat arenas in 8-10 minutes. And this was one that was sold out way before. It was just a hockey arena that only held like 11,000 people. So they were jam-packed.
Right.
And we got to the end of that match, and, you know, we had a hell of a match. People were live, like, unbelievable. And then we got to the end, and, you know, Randy's beating me down, and I'm firing back, and he's beating me down, and I'm firing back, and the crowd's going crazy. And finally, I blew that tongue back, and he stopped me in the middle of it, and he went to slam me, and he said, "Diamond cutter." And I freaking turned it into a diamond cutter out of nowhere, and the roof exploded.
Wow.
So we're both laying there, and I just draped my arm across him, and the entire building goes, 1, 2. And I don't think they believed it, but when they said 3, it was like pandemonium. And it was so loud and noisy in there, but I could hear Randy as if he was talking to me and nobody was in the room. And he went, "Well, I guess we know what we're going to do at Spring Stampede."
That is awesome.
That happened.
That's awesome. Wow. Wow. He really sounds like he did have like a big impact on you then for your career.
Oh, he did. You know, we were the feud of the year in 1997, yeah. And I'll leave you this last story, and then I got to roll.
For sure.
At Thanksgiving, you know, back then in 97, everybody had beepers. I had a cell phone, but, you know, there was no texting or any of that shit. You know, so I'm getting all these beeps from people. "Thank you. You know, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for helping me." I probably helped 30 guys live their dream, from Canyon to Glacier to Kidman to Disco to Raven. I helped so many people get jobs at WCW. And I'm getting all these people thanking me, you know, for helping them. And I'm thinking, who am I grateful to? You know, besides my family and my close buddies like Dusty and Jake and all the guys who knew, you know?
Right.
But who am I thankful for who probably doesn't know? I thought, Savage, I'm going to call him. So I picked up the phone and I called him. I said, of course, he didn't answer his phone because I don't think he ever answered his phone the entire time I knew him. And he said, "Hey, Randy, it's DDP. I know this is going to sound kind of corny, but, you know, I got all these guys texting me or, you know, beeping me today and sending me message about thank you for helping them, you know, helping them, you know, live their dream." And, you know, and I'm thinking, God, this is so cool, you know, man, but who am I thankful for? Who doesn't know it? And so, most likely you, and you don't know it. So I just wanted to reach out and say, "Hey, dude, I really appreciate what you've done for me because I know I'm not in this spot without you. So I just wanted to say thanks." And I hung up the phone. That was it. Now, the next week, for some reason, he wasn't on TV. But then, I think he was on vacation or something. But the next week, he was. And when he saw me backstage, Randy was that guy behind the scenes, too. I mean, he was so intense. And he really talked like that. So when he would get amped up, he would get even more extreme. And when he saw me, he's like, "Diamond, Diamond." "Hey, Randy, get over here. Come here." God, what the hell did I do? You know? So, because I completely forgot about the phone call. And he grabbed me and he pulled me in this room and he goes, I got your message. I said, yeah? He goes, yeah, I got it. And I called up my dad and I played it for him. Now, his dad was a very famous wrestler in the 50s, 60s, 70s. He was, Dad, did any of the boys ever leave you a message like this? He said, Randy, I never heard about anybody even doing this, saying this. He goes, I just want you to know it meant the world to me. You're welcome. And he gave me a big hug. Okay. You know, it was just like, just saying thank you to some people. You know, you never know. Please and thank you.
Wow.
It don't take that much. It don't take that much to do that. I'm going to leave you with that, bro. Live life with an attitude of gratitude. Focus on the things that you do have as opposed to what you don't.
Absolutely. Well, DDP, thank you so much for being the inaugural guest on Pep Talk. We mean it a lot. Where can people find you on the social medias?
Well, you know, I always tell people, no matter what, everything I said about DDP Yoga, don't listen to a word I say. Go to Facebook, one word, DDP Yoga, and then go where it says people put the posts down and read what people are saying, what they're writing to me, you know, thanking me for helping heal their bodies or fucking changing their life. You can't get people to chant Stone Cold or Hogan or Rock or DDP. You can't get them to do that. They got to feel it. They got to be emotionally connected to those people. It's just like on Facebook. You can't get people to write the stuff they write. They got to be mentally and engaged with what you're doing. They've got to be attached to what you're doing. You got to really make an impact on them. Go to DDP Yoga, one word, on Facebook, or go to Twitter, at RealDDP, at DDP Yoga. Read what people are writing right now. It'll blow your mind. My friend, glad to be on your Ignore Real show, and it's been your pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day. Best of luck with everything.
See you, buddy.
Cheers.
Bye.